What is the priesthood of Jesus Christ? What does it involve? How does it function? What does it do? Many, many years ago, a man came into my life and irritated my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. Irritated me because he didn't match the measure of the word to the church of that day. Because one of the things he said to me is, Kim, the only right you have is the right to be broken. And if you look at Jesus Christ, when he begins his public ministry, everyone is excited about the authority of his kingship. But later on, when the next measure of his revelation of who he really is comes about, and he decides to tell them that he will be the sacrificial lamb, prophesied multiples of times in the Old Testament, he gives them the truth and they cannot digest it. And he even tells them, after 3 days, I will rise again. And it goes right over their heads. Peter, his buddy, whom he actually revealed his glory to, is warned by the time that the rooster crows. Peter, you don't know what's inside of you. You're going to be pushing out words out of your soul and deny me. I've seen my mouth deny the Lord in order to be accepted. Just to be part of the group. It was more comfortable to deny him than it was to take the wrath of people. I didn't understand the broken bread. They had taken Passover, and he had broken the bread, and he said, this is my body, broken for you. He lifted the cup, and he declared it to be his blood, poured out. They didn't catch on. You say, why are you angry? I'm not angry. I'm upset because many are still walking around trying to justify their actions and their reactions so that they can protect themselves and be a mighty man or a mighty woman for God and to defend God instead of letting themselves fall into that place of saying, okay, you can crucify me one more time. It's okay. It's okay to be nailed to the cross one more time. It's okay. Because Jesus showed me how. He showed me the way. And he cried out, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. What does it mean when someone has no knowledge? What does it really mean? They cannot comprehend where you're coming from. And by God's grace, Peter did not comprehend where Jesus was going. He ran. And they all ran, except for John. John would have been a teenager at the time, having a pull inside of him to stay with the ladies and hold on to the cross. This priesthood is a priesthood of sacrificial offering of yourself as a lamb for those that God has chosen for you to fall for. Many years ago, the Lord showed me at a Passover feast that there was a lamb for every house. That lamb was examined by the kids. And how many know that kids can be very critical? They were to check out every single part of that lamb to make sure there were no flaws in that lamb. How many have ever been checked out by the unbelievers to see if you are perfect in their sight. Well, if you're a real Christian, you wouldn't do this. If you're a real believer, you wouldn't have this flaw on you. This cut up ear or this broken toe. You wouldn't have that. After all, you're supposed to be perfect. And the kids of the world are looking to the church to become what Jesus was. He was a priest and a king. And they crucified him. And they'll do the same to you. He's the forerunner. What does that mean? He's the spirit of prophecy. Revelations. If he's the spirit of prophecy, then that means he's prophesying by his lifestyle what's going to happen to you and me. And we don't want to lay down. We don't want to. We want to defend ourselves. We want to fight back and justify and even defend God. How many have ever found their mouth defending God? He doesn't need your defense. He doesn't need you to defend him. How many know God has a major mouth? If you look back in the Old Testament, you'll find that when he speaks, the mountains literally vibrated. And everybody was scared out of their wits. And they said, please God, don't talk to them. We'll listen to Moses. He wants to talk to you today in the brokenness of his bread. Today, I'd like you to come with me to the times of the Lord's birth in Matthew. So if you want to kind of open your Bibles to Matthew, we're going to take a peek at a little bit about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in chapter 2, you kind of see him from the time that he's born, visited by the Magi, continuing back to Nazareth after Herod died. He was released to go back home. And then in chapter 3, John the Baptist is on the scene, and he's already operating under the anointing of the Lord. Chapter 2 and chapter 3. Now we're going to go into chapter 3. I'm just giving you a synopsis of the beginning of that chapter is really about the birth of the Lord. In verse 13 of chapter 3, it says, the baptism of Jesus. Now, I'm using the NIV because I want to kind of keep it simple so that there's an understanding for every heart. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Now, that's quite a distance. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Now, I can remember many times the Lord pressing me to push somebody beyond their limits. How many know sometimes you are pressed of God to say something or to ask someone to do something, and they're so focused on their problem that they really don't want to even look at you? And I've seen myself come to somebody and just, and the Lord is saying, they're not going to want to do it, but here. And they literally grab the bottle, but they would like to throw it at me. Come on, please, admit it.
Amen.
It's all right. Okay? But see, God knows how to push your buttons in a gentle way. And with a compassionate heart, the Lord's heart begins to minister out of them in the midst of their
troubles
and pain. They could be so focused on their pain, they really don't want to anoint anybody. They'd just as soon slap everybody in the face and say, I'm getting out of here. I don't want to be in this cotton-picking church because this is not the place for me right now. And I just don't want to be here. I only got one amen.
Amen.
Come on now. Admit it. See, when you're coming to the house of the Lord, it's like going into an intensive care unit. Okay? And the needles are sticking all over, and you just have a hard time breathing, and a breathing machine is necessary to get you going. All right. Why? Because you're breathing on your own, and you're dying in the midst of your problem. And God is kind enough to let you see your problem so that you can push beyond it. And I've seen it time and again where all of a sudden they begin to pray in the Spirit and the countenance of the person starts changing. Come on, do I get an amen there as well?
Amen.
Why? Because they're switching gears. They're going from their heads to their spirit. And the seeds of life that are in their spirit begin to bubble out of them. And all of a sudden, oh, I wasn't expecting, but this is what God is saying, Kim. And now their countenance has changed. Their character is no longer the anointing of that. I want to chop everybody up. They now have a compassionate heart coming back to life. And here I'm saying, you know, John the Baptist is like, here's his cousin. He knows he's the Messiah. He's had this revelation. And all right, here he comes, and he wants to be baptized by me. I mean, this is not my day. Watch what the word says. Jesus replied, "Let it be so now." Not next year. Now. "It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Is it a kindness to let me see myself?
Yes.
Yes. Do I like what I see?
No.
But then can I operate in a new level of wisdom by the Holy Ghost to begin to say, you know, I don't feel like doing this, but if it's to fulfill all righteousness, you know, it's to do something good. It's to produce something awesome. Then by God's grace, you begin to change your heart and you purpose to persevere into the priesthood of service. Are we not supposed to be servants of the Most High? Not serving ourselves in what we think is great, but to serve the Most High. So now watch. John consented. He agreed, even though he doesn't think this is a good idea, or maybe the right day. Maybe he had a bunch of Pharisees on his case, and he was upset with them because they came to be baptized, and they had an attitude, and he had to turn them away because their hearts were wrong. And here comes Jesus on a bad day, wants to be baptized, and no way. Consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water at that moment. Say, at that moment.
At that moment.
This is a now word, Lord. When I least expect it, God shows up.
At that moment.
Amen. Heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. So is the Spirit of God a dove? No. But it's like a dove. It's gentle. And it stayed with him. All right? And a voice from heaven. So God does speak. "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." Boy, I will tell you that when those words come out, what does it do? It activates hell. That's what it does. When God begins to compliment one of his kids, hell gets agitated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's going to start with the hell that's inside of you. Mm-hmm. And you won't like it. And you might stomp your feet and do whatever. But this is my Son, whom I love. So the Father's love of his Son. And Romans 8 says he's the first of many. So therefore you have a Father who loves you and is well pleased with you. I didn't think I could do such a great job this week. I was just me. Just being you under the anointing of God is enough to agitate the enemy. Watch. Verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 1, I'm sorry. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Led by which Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Into the desert to be tempted by the devil. I mean, you know, I haven't had enough yet. So, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he had a little thought about maybe getting a pizza. The tempter came to him and said, "You've got visions of pizza, huh? If you are the Son of God, if, did you see it? Is it in your Bible too? If you are the Son of God, make you question who you are. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become pizza." Well, come on now. I think he did. I've got news for you. Pizza bread. All right, you're catching it. Did you ever have the crust of the pizza and dunk it into fresh butter? Oh, man. Yeah. See, that'll give you visions of satisfying that hunger tantrum. I'm serious. All right. And I've also been in the Middle East, and I've eaten some of their food, and they eat pita bread. Lots of pita bread. And it looks just like mini pizzas. Okay, so don't pull me off center. Pizza's good stuff. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And words are seeds, are they not? They are seeds of either life or... So, it is written, man does not live. Man, woman, does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God in you and in me. It's going to bring life into your house, or it's going to bring death out of your house, depending on who your source is. Amen? Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. Verse 6 has this wonderful word again. If you are. If you are. Making him what? Doubt. Question. Hindering his thought patterns. Invading his assurance that he is the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. He said, "Throw yourself down, for it is written." Now notice how Satan is quoting scripture. "He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Isn't it wonderful that the devil knows the word of God? He knows it better than we do. What is he trying to make Jesus do? He's trying to make him respect the word and to swallow the word with a piece missing. Verse 7. Jesus answered him, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Now, why does Jesus declare himself to be the Lord and his God? Where is that Jesus living today? Inside of us. So you mean to tell me that the Lord and the God of Satanic Kingdom is living inside of? By his Spirit, Gail, by his Spirit. Come on, girl. Is he living inside of you?
Absolutely.
So why are you putting up with the tempter who says, if you are the Son of God, if you are a woman of God, if you are a man of God, if you are a servant of the Most High, if you are, if you are, if you are, broken record, catching on, then do this for me. And go off center. Then do that for me. And activate the wrong spirit. Amen. And what have you done then? Instead of saying, get out of here, the Lord your God is not the one that's going to be tempted by you, because I'm not listening to your lies. I know that Jesus Christ is alive in me, and I'm under construction, and I am a new creation. What I was is dead, buried. Yeah, man? If I was really dead and buried, who's living in me? It's by His Spirit, and He's renewing my spirit to be acting and reacting like His, pouring out words of life. And if the enemy comes around and says, if you are, look it, throw yourself down. Scripture says, go ahead. Andy, why does that put a smile on your face? If you are. You mean to tell me you've heard those words before? Yes, okay. So, could it be that the Spirit of God is alive in you?
Of course.
Okay. Now, verse 7. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So you have a right to use those same words. Do not put me, as a man filled with God's Holy Ghost, to the test. So don't even think of it. I'm not going by your lies. Believe me, when you begin to say that, you will get some other thoughts that are going to enter your head. And there's a whole slew of garbage that you're going to have to pull down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, pull down the strongholds. So you're going to have to deal with those strongholds, which are words and ways of thinking that you've had since you were a believer and a sinner. Now you're a saint. I'm having a nice conversation with a friend of mine this week. And he says, well, you know, I'm just a sinner. And I says, bull. He says, you're not being nice. I said, I'm telling you the truth. If you're a sinner, I ain't talking to you. I said, St. Paul wrote every letter, practically, to the saints. I'm not saying that you don't sin. I'm saying you're no longer a sinner. The sinner died when he went into the water. Did you go into the water? Yes, I did. Did you come out on the other side? Yes, I did. Are you a saint or a sinner? Well, I said, why don't you repent right now and I'll agree with you. And he says, you're being tough on me today. I said, tough guys will win the battle. Why? Violent men will take the kingdom by? Yes. Sometimes it is a storm. Amen? And you will have to stand your ground. All right. It's getting good, huh? Again, the devil took him. Verse 8 is a new beginning. Right? The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And listen to his wonderful instructions. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and... So what does the devil want?
Worship.
He wants your worship. He wants your attention. He wants you to bow down to him. When I read this many years ago, I was overwhelmed. Because I said, Lord, I don't understand. Where do I worship him? How do I worship him? He said, when you go by your natural thinking, you are literally under the anointing of his demons, and you are literally serving them. That's worship to him. Because you bow down to and serve them instead of the Most High God. That hurt. That hurt enough that I had a breathing problem. I was hesitating. I said, this is too much. You know, I didn't realize he was using all these corners on me. I didn't realize that every time I bowed to my way of thinking, my old patterns of thoughts, that I was bringing worship to the enemy. I was just not happy. But the Lord said, look, repent, quit it, turn it around, and go forward. So, made the decision. And you know what? The enemy said, you're not forgiven. And I told him, 1 John 1:9 says, guaranteed, my Father's faithful to forgive me. Amen. Guaranteed, he's faithful, even if I don't have the feelings. Because sometimes the feelings don't match what you're doing. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So, when you serve the wrong one, you know, the Lord will nudge you. And you'll have an opportunity to repent. Verse 11 is very important. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. The devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Is our God a respecter of persons?
No.
Our God treats all of his children the same. When you go through a trial and you resist the enemy and the enemy flees, who comes to minister to you? No kidding. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14. Guarantee you that the angels of the Lord are for you. They're all around and available for you. And do we cry out to get their attention once in a while? Lord, I need help right now. Would you release something? Just the right angel for what I need right now. Because I'm in trouble. I'm having a hard time, Lord. You know, and I know that the angels are available. I remember someone having a vision years ago of a whole bunch of angels in a parking lot. And there was like a, you know, like the meters on the side of the road or the side of the main streets they used to have. And the meter was on expired. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? And he says, their time is up and they're just going to go back. They got nothing to do because nobody wants to put them to work. They're on park. Millions of angels available. One lady years ago who's gone to be with the Lord one time had a revelation. 12 legions of angels to take over the area of her city was the word she got. And I can remember getting a call from her. Kim, I don't know if I'm crazy, but I heard the Lord say to ask for 12 legions of angels for the area of my city that's falling apart. Am I crazy, Kim? I said, well, if you are, I will be with you. Because God says that we can have what we ask for. And sometimes our vision is a little too skinny. I ask for one or two. I might need 300. Why don't you ask the Lord to be generous with your purchases? Okay? Be generous in your requirements. I believe what Gail's vision was is, don't stop with one nationality, Lord. Don't stop with one language for the house of prayer. Don't hinder the prayer by saying, send us only these that understand English. Send us the ones that you want, Lord. And give us a hunger to serve those that are hurting, whether they're from my background or not. Whether they're from my color, acceptable range of the rainbow. Huh. How many know we have comfort zones? Yeah. And we have a tendency to gravitate towards the comfort. Let's ask God to make us a little more obedient. Ask him for what he wants instead of what we want. you do me a favor? Put your hand over your heart, please. Release your spirit. Pray in the spirit right now. Pray in the spirit. Don't move the hand. Father, I ask that you would cancel the words of death that have wounded these. And sometimes, Lord Jesus, that they have gone backwards instead of forwards. That they have lurked into areas that were difficult. And Lord, because of your grace today, seeds of life will come alive. And Lord Jesus, we know that they are sons and women of God. And we believe with them that as they stand against the darkness, Lord, that they will become mighty, mighty anointed men and women to release words of life and words of love and acceptance to those from the nations that they are to minister to, wherever and whenever you sent them. In Jesus' name, I pray.